Hi, I'm Vari and welcome to the podcast. I've never had a simple answer to the question, so what do you do? The truth is, I do a lot of things. I'm a writer, a designer, an illustrator, a podcaster, and a coach. The thread that weaves all of these parts of me together is my intention to create connection. Connection to more joy, more peace, and more freedom. Join me as we dive into conversations about intentional living, nurturing creativity, building meaningful connections with our friends and our families, and infusing the work we do with purpose and heart. Let's dive in. Hi there, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Firstly, I just want to start by saying thank you to everyone who sent me an email or a DM after last week's first episode in quite some time here on the podcast. I was feeling excited about getting back to regularly recording episodes, and so to know that the first one was lovingly received by many of you was a lovely confirmation that now is the time to be talking more and to be recording more regular episodes. So thank you to everyone who sent me a little note in the last week. I really do appreciate everyone taking the time to let me know that it was helpful and that there were some things in there that really resonated. I know this idea of creative projects versus building a business is something that a lot of creative types really face. And so it's something that I know for me, I'm going to be continuing to explore more deeply as the rest of this year unfolds and to see how that impacts my work and the rhythm of my days and my weeks and my months. So yeah, I'm excited to continue that conversation with many of you who find yourselves in that same space or who perhaps identified themselves as a business owner and an entrepreneur, but now are starting to question if that is in fact the energy that they want to embrace in the work that they do. So I think, you know, legitimizing the role of the creative freelancer, the creative for hire, I think is something that we're going to see more and more of in the times that we are living in now and the way that we are working. I think there is going to be a bit of a resurgence of that type of working and certainly more of a need for it within other organizations and within people's own lives and the way that they actually want to spend the hours in their days. So I'm excited to continue this conversation over the coming weeks and months. This last week for me has been one of those beautiful, paradoxical weeks. It has been one of the most spacious and most gentle and most simple weeks that I've had in quite some time. And on the flip side of that, it has been one of the most significant and filled with milestones type of weeks that I've had in quite some time as well. So if you follow me over on Instagram, you may have seen that on Tuesday, I opened pre-orders for my first book, Seeds of Courage, which will be published internationally on the 1st of September. This has been a project that I've been working on, I mean, really, for the last probably decade, but started to come together in this form of a book and a complete body of work towards the middle of last year, and then really started to define what that was going to look like towards the end of last year. So as a creative project, I've actively been working on the book for the last 8 months, but it is, as many creative projects are, a culmination of a lot of my experience and work and my life, particularly over the last decade. So pre-orders for my book opened on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday I celebrated a milestone birthday. I turned 40 on Wednesday. So when I was speaking with my publisher about dates 6 months ago, around when we would open pre-sales and when we would set the publishing date, it was comforting for me to know that the gentle birthing of this piece of work was going to be the day before a milestone birthday, for me personally. So it was this really kind of beautiful transition moment of introducing something new and also introducing myself to this next new decade that I'm stepping into. I know for me, birthdays are a funny concept. I know a lot of people who reach those milestone birthdays, it can be this real definitive line in the sand kind of moment for them. I think for me, I'm less patient than that. And I never allow myself to wait until there is a very clear date or obvious ending and starting point for me to do something new. So I feel like a lot of the seemingly significant changes or decisions that I've made in my life have been on rather insignificant days. For example, when I decided to get sober and remove alcohol from my life, that was on a random Sunday. It was the 8th of July on a random Sunday, a couple of weeks before my 35th birthday. So I could have waited to my birthday. I could have waited until, you know, the start of the next month, the start of the next year. But for me, there is an impatience to begin the thing that I know needs to begin. And there's been so many moments like that for me in my life. I can remember back to, even as a child, having these moments where nothing externally significant was happening, but I knew in this moment that I would look back at this moment and know that there was a significant shift or change in that moment. So for me, turning 40, whilst it's something to celebrate and it's an opportunity to pause and to reflect on the last decade and to get curious about what the next decade holds for me, it is, and at the same time, just another day. And it's this continual unfolding of me and my life and how I want to spend it and who I want to spend it with. I've often felt at odds with my chronological age. And what I mean by that is I've often felt more further along on my journey through this life than my chronological age would suggest, or I've felt the flip of that. So when I became a mother, I was just 25. I was, you know, fairly young by standards today of when people are choosing to have their first child, certainly in our Western culture. And so for me, I always felt I was a little further along than a lot of my peers who were having their first child at that time. I remember going along to my mother's group and being the youngest by quite a few years. There were many women who were in their mid-30s or, you know, the age I am now, who were just having their first child. And, you know, me at that age now, me at 40, have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old. So for me, I have always had a strange relationship with my chronological age because I've never necessarily tied where I am in my life to that age. I've never felt like I've necessarily followed the pattern of the things you should be doing at that particular age. Whilst I was a new mother and at home, a lot of people who were the same age as me were traveling, were living in share houses, were, you know, really starting to get some momentum in their career. And so for me, it was a bit of a flip of that. That happened for me when I was in my 30s. I was single really for the first time as an adult woman in my early to mid 30s, which a lot of people are having that time when they're in their early 20s. So it was a really interesting time for me to never really identify with the age that I'm at. And I certainly feel that now. I don't really have an idea of what 40 should or could look like. For me, it's just this continual unfolding, and I'm excited to feel into, yeah, what this next phase, this next decade holds for me. My life certainly looks vastly different than it did when I turned 30. And there were many hard times in that and many beautiful times in that. And I, at this stage in my life, know to expect the same thing to happen in this next 10 years that lies ahead. What those sorrowful, hard, dark moments will be, I'm not entirely sure, but I know they will be there. And what those joyous moments of celebration will be, again, I'm not entirely sure what they'll look like or sound like or feel like, but I'm expecting them to be there too. So I really feel quite present and grounded and appreciative of all the things I have in my life at the moment, but at the same time, an eager curiosity about the magic that lies ahead that I can't know from where I am right now. So at the end of this week, where I've celebrated the birth of my first book and myself turning 40, I wanted to celebrate this week by sharing a little reading from Seeds of Courage with you. So as the title suggests, the theme of the book is around courage. How can we cultivate more of it? What does courage look like in our lives? What holds us back from being courageous? As I reflected on this last 10 years of my life, courage has played a really key role in that. And I think we can have this misconception that courage is big and bold and loud and everyone is taking notice, when I know from my own personal experience, true courage is often very small, very simple, and very gentle. And so in the book, I'm sharing these small ways that we can cultivate courage to live a life that is big and beautiful by our standards, but in a way that is gentle to our hearts and to our minds and to the earth that we live on. I open the book by talking about my distinction between courage and bravery. We can often use these words interchangeably, but for me, they do have very different energies. So that's what I'd like to share with you today. The introduction starts, why we need courage before bravery. In a world that often tells us to be strong, to toughen up, and to put on a brave face, it can be easy to confuse true courage with mere bravado. We often find ourselves caught in a constant battle between the desire to shield ourselves from vulnerability and the longing to step into the unknown, to grow and to expand. But within this dichotomy lies a crucial distinction, the difference between bravery fueled by defensiveness and the bravery fueled by courage. The former, fueled by defensiveness, is often an immediate reaction to the unfolding circumstances that threaten to expose our delicate sensitivities and perceived flaws. It's the kind of bravery that leads us to take fast action in a frantic attempt to avoid discomfort. In these moments, it is natural for us to defend and to default to behaviors that are controlling, manipulative, and demanding, seeking quick fixes to protect ourselves. While this kind of bravery can be necessary and helpful in certain situations, speaking up for a co-worker facing unfair treatment, or risking our own safety to rescue someone in immediate physical danger, it ultimately keeps us stuck in familiar patterns. It offers a temporary shield against vulnerability, but fails to foster growth and true connection. On the other hand, bravery fueled by courage emerges from intention and is characterized by its gentle and sustainable nature. It is an acceptance of discomfort, an acknowledgement that evolution lies in the space beyond our comfort zone. This kind of bravery allows us to pause, to sit in the liminal space between two worlds, to make deliberate choices based on what calls to our deepest selves. At its core, courage is the quiet and tender precursor to a kind of bravery that is generative, supportive, and expansive. When we pause and lean in, we can find the threads of courage woven into stories of those who chose the path of growth. It is the woman who, despite her fear, walks away from a life that looks rich but feels poor. It is the artist who chooses to share their art with the world, fully aware of the potential for rejection and criticism. It is the individual who speaks their truth, even when it risks challenging societal norms and facing judgment. These acts of courage may not always make the headlines, but they reverberate through the lives of those who chose them, offering inspiration and transformation. Courage is what's required to live a deep and meaningful life. It's something that's always available to us. It's simply a choice we make in the moment. To choose to be courageous doesn't mean that there's an absence of fear. It's quite the opposite. Being courageous means that we acknowledge there's risk ahead and fear is present, but we choose to take the next step towards what's calling us. With time and attention, we can cultivate the habit of choosing courage, but our familiarity with courage will take time to grow and to mature. It will require a significant degree of emotional discomfort, exposure, and vulnerability to develop our relationship with it and trust in it as our ally. When we avoid the opportunities to be courageous, we stay within the seduction of safety. We refuse and reject the new beginnings that are waiting to unfold. We turn our backs on our desires and fix our gazes firmly on the past. Courage is what moves our lives forward. It's what opens our hearts to possibility, potential, and to love. To be courageous, we do not have to set our lives ablaze today and burn urgently to the ground all that has been. We simply have to allow that flicker of the light to catch, to spark, to ignite. We have to allow our courage to be kindled. This book is a threshold, but not in the sense that it separates your life in an absolute way. Rather, this threshold is the delicate and tender space between what's been, what's in the process of becoming. I invite you to journey through this threshold with me. Together, we'll explore where we find ourselves today, what we'll leave behind, and what we'll move towards. Thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to share some of the themes that have been on my heart for quite some time. I'm so excited to have this book out in the world and to begin to cultivate a more delicate relationship with courage in our lives. If you would like to pre-order Seeds of Courage, you can do that over on my website, BattyMcKickney.com, or you can order it wherever you get your books in all of the usual places. As I said, the publication date is the 1st of September, which for us here in the Southern Hemisphere is the first day of spring. And it feels like a beautifully aligned time to plant these seeds of courage and to watch them grow over the coming spring and summer months. So thank you again for being here. I really appreciate it. Have a beautiful week, and I will speak to you next week. Sending love.